As the Senate impeachment trial gets underway, a debate over the rules.
The proceedings got off to a dramatic start that is probably a preview of how free-flowing and open-ended much of this trial is going to be.
We'll have more details on what the trial will look like coming up. Plus, the Supreme Court is leaving the Affordable Care Act in limbo this term. How not considering Obamacare could impact the 2020 election. It's Tuesday, January 21st. This is the PM edition of What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Boeing has pushed back the timetable for returning its 737 MAX jets to service. The plane maker now says it does not expect federal regulators to approve the jets' ungrounding until at least the middle of the year. Boeing says that takes into account the need to approve training for pilots. The new timeline is far longer than most airlines and industry analysts had expected. The 737 MAX fleet was grounded last March after two fatal crashes. Shares of Boeing dropped more than 3% on Tuesday. The first U.S. case of the new coronavirus has been confirmed in Washington state. The newly identified pneumonia-like illness originated in Wuhan, China. Authorities in China say it's killed at least six people and infected more than 300 since it first appeared last month. It's also spread to Japan, Thailand, and South Korea. The outbreak comes as tens of millions of Chinese citizens are preparing to travel for the Lunar New Year. The virus has caused many to change their plans as authorities step up control measures. Prosecutors in Brazil have charged the former CEO of Vale and 10 others from the mining company with homicide in connection with last year's dam collapse that left 270 people dead. They've also charged five others with homicide at the German auditing company that certified the mine waste dam as safe just months before it collapsed. After a year-long investigation, prosecutors said it was clear that the dam had presented a critical structural risk since at least 2017 and alleged that both Vale and its auditor were aware of the problems. The mine collapse on January 25, 2019 was one of the world's deadliest in recent history. After the pomp and circumstance of last week, the Senate impeachment trial kicked off for real this afternoon. The first step, a discussion about setting the rules for the proceedings. Those rules will govern, among other things, how long each side has to make their arguments and the timeline for the entire trial. Joining me now from the Capitol is Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, what can you tell us about the proceedings so far? What are we hearing from the players in the impeachment trial?
Well, the proceedings got off to a dramatic start that is probably a preview of how free-flowing and open-ended much of this trial is going to be. At the very last minute, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell changed his proposed trial format. Initially, he had said that both sides had 24 hours for opening arguments, but those 24 hours had to be condensed into 2 days for each side. So we had been looking at very long 12-hour days, starting at 1 in the afternoon, going until as long as 1 in the morning. And then Mr. McConnell had also said that House-gathered evidence couldn't automatically be admitted into the record. It wouldn't be accorded the status of true trial evidence. And that caused an uproar among Democrats, but also among some Republicans. And so Susan Collins complained about that, the result of very last-minute change to the trial rules. That means there will be more days at the outset for opening arguments. And all of the material the House has gathered will be treated as evidence unless it is struck later on successfully by some motion.
Siobhan, during the House impeachment inquiry, there were calls for more transparency about the process. What do we know about what parts of the Senate trial will be public and what will be happening behind closed doors?
So the way it works is that any senator can make a motion to go into closed session. That would have to pass. And then at that point, we would all be kicked out of the room and the senators would deliberate among themselves on various motions or amendments. So it's possible that that will happen as the trial gets off to a start on Tuesday. But again, with the very open-ended nature of this trial, it's hard to predict exactly how things will unfold. Transparency is, of course, a top buzzword at this moment. My suspicion is that's part of the reason Mr. McConnell ran into some choppy waters when he tried to say House gathered material would not count as evidence. And so there is going to be tremendous pressure to keep as much of this trial open as possible.
There have also been some questions in recent days about press access. What can you tell us about what you're able to see and take part in?
The working conditions for the press are very restricted right now. You need a second credential in order to simply get into the Senate portion of the Capitol to do your job. And then on top of that, anybody who wants to go into the gallery itself needs a special ticket. It's only one per news outlet to go in and very quietly witness what is happening on the Senate floor. It's things like if you're at the bottom of an elevator, you have to pause to show all of your press badges. And then as soon as you've gotten to the top of that escalator or elevator, you have to again show those same badges. So it's very tough going, a lot of press, very confined quarters, hard to get access to people, hard to move around.
Keeping in mind that much of this is still being hashed out as we're speaking, what can we expect over the next few days in terms of a timeline?
So right now, we are only at the process of approving the Senate rules. We're going to, on Tuesday, go through a bunch of amendments to those rules. By the end, the Senate will vote to put some type of trial structure in place. After that, under the new provisions in Mr. McConnell's proposed rule, which we expect to pass, look for up to 6 days of opening arguments, 3 days for the Democrats, 3 days for the White House. And then beyond that, there is a question and answer period, and senators are able to ask questions. The format of that, though, is they submit questions to Chief Justice John Roberts, who then asks on their behalf.
Wall Street Journal reporter Siobhan Hughes joining us from the Capitol. Thank you so much, Siobhan.
Thanks. Good to talk to you.
The Affordable Care Act has been one of the most divisive political issues of the past decade and sparked a number of legal challenges. One of the provisions that's been under contention is the individual mandate, the part of the law that required most individuals to carry health insurance or pay a penalty. Last month, a New Orleans-based federal appeals court ruled that the mandate was unconstitutional. A group of 20 Democratic-led states and the House of Representatives had asked the Supreme Court to fast-track their appeal of that decision. But today, the court declined to do so. That means the nation's highest court won't rule on an ACA case before the 2020 election. Joining me now from the Supreme Court with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Brent Kendall. Brent, several parts of the Affordable Care Act have made it up to the Supreme Court by now. Remind us what part of the ACA this appeals process specifically is about.
This appeal is about the sort of the core requirement in the health law that people carry insurance or pay a penalty. That was also the issue in the biggest ACA case that came to the Supreme Court previously, and the court upheld the mandate then. The twist here is that Congress has since effectively removed the penalty for not buying health insurance. They set a tax of $0, so there is no actual penalty if you don't buy health care. And so challengers to the law, and here we have a bunch of Republican states challenging it, say, look, if there's no tax now, Congress can't actually make this a mandate because the Supreme Court previously upheld this mandate pursuant to Congress's taxing power, but now there's no tax. So lower courts have agreed with that argument and said the mandate isn't valid. The bigger question is not about the mandate, but whether all the rest of the things in the health law can remain in place even if the mandate no longer exists. And so supporters of the health law say, well, of course all those things should remain in the law. And opponents of the law say, no, you know, this whole law has to rise and fall together, and the mandate was a central part of what the law did. And without it, the rest of the law should not function, you know, as sort of this something lesser than what it used to be.
What did we hear from the court today about reasoning for rejecting a request to fast track this appeals process?
Well, so we didn't actually hear much from the court. I mean, as is their custom, and we got a one sentence order that says we're not gonna hear this case on an expedited basis. I mean, the real problem for the supporters of the health law was the appeals court they heard arguments in July and then didn't decide the case until mid-December, and that time frame is tough for the Supreme Court's current term because the court normally only hears arguments through April. And so under a normal schedule, this case would never have gotten on the court's calendar by then. And so the Democratic states and the House of Representatives said, hey, please speed this up so we can either squeeze it on your calendar or add a new date in May. But the court already has a ton of things on its calendar, and it wraps up in June. And so that would have, if they'd added this case, it would have put a lot of pressure on the court. And so what the court just said today is we're not moving that quickly. I mean, they didn't say one way or the other on whether they will eventually hear the case again. But what it does mean is that, you know, this case isn't coming soon, and certainly not before the court takes a summer break. And so there won't be another legal ruling on this before the 2020 presidential election, at least not from the Supreme Court.
And that brings me to our next question here. What is the potential impact of this? The court will not hear it before the 2020 election. So what can you tell us about the timing there?
Well, I mean, had the court issued a ruling in June, no matter which way it went, it would have thrust the health law sort of back into the center of the political debate. And so now, you know, the GOP can avoid that somewhat. You know, if the court had struck down key parts of the law, then, you know, the Republicans would have had to come up with some sort of plan on what to do next. And there's no indication that they were eager and ready to do that. You know, and you have Republicans who both don't want to be seen as taking away people's health care, but have also campaigned against the health law. But by sort of kicking the can down the road, I mean, you know, the court proceedings aren't going to be resolved before the election. And to some extent, that'll make it easier for Republicans to avoid this issue if they'd like to when they are campaigning.
The ACA has long been the subject of litigation. Are there any other cases involving the Affordable Care Act that could make it up to the Supreme Court?
Well, I mean, this is sort of the central case. There have been offshoot cases on issues that are important but that don't strike at the center of the law. For example, there's a case that the Supreme Court is going to hear effectively for a third time about a requirement in the ACA that employers, large employers, provide contraception coverage for female employees at no out-of-pocket costs for them. You know, the Obama administration had crafted a somewhat narrowly tailored exception for churches and the like that would not have had to comply. And then we've had a lot of litigation over whether other people could claim religious exemptions to this. And the Trump administration has expanded pretty considerably the number of people who could claim exemptions for having to provide that kind of coverage for their workers. And so the Supreme Court has agreed to hear another case on this. And that case they will likely hear in the spring and decide by June. But again, you know, while that case covers a, you know, an important issue, it's not one that strikes at the heart of whether or not the law is going to remain in place.
Wall Street Journal reporter Brent Kendall joining me from Washington. Thank you so much, Brent.
Thank you.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.